Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, welcome to Series 3 of the Rahulla Summer Book Club. We're back. It's 2023, motherfuckers. And my guest is Rob Manuel, who has written, well, compiled. I'm not going to say you've written a book, Rob.
I wrote the introduction.
You did the 2 pages of the introduction.
It's the best bit. I've worked on the title.
It's called The Very Best of Fesshole. Look, Rob, why don't you tell us a bit about who you are for anyone who doesn't know, first of all, and what you do.
Okay. Hi, my name's Rob Manuel, and I've been addicted to the internet since 1992, when I first discovered things like multi-user dungeons and posting on things like Usenet. And so basically my entire pretend career has just been about enabling myself to spend as much time online as possible without having to do anything proper with my time. And so that's involved being a very, very piss poor web designer at points. I've been a terrible programmer. And then in 2001, I co-made a website called Beta, b3ca.com, which kind of like galvanized a lot of kind of like people who are interested in comedy and kind of online stuff into one place. And then yeah. I still do that. And so that like dribbles on. It's a project that probably should have ended in 2005, but I'm stuck with it now. So I still write a newsletter every Friday for it. And then, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, mucking around one day, I posted a thing on Twitter going, does anyone want to tell me like an anecdote kind of thing? Give me a confession. And I put up a Google form and then, you know, I got maybe 50 in and I just sort of posted them out with screen grabs and it was amusing. And I thought, well, this works. And so packaged it up as a little Twitter account, called it Fesshole. And now it's got 780,000. Well, I can't even do the numbers, they're so big.
780,000.
It's got 0.78 million followers. If that's how you describe it.
That is good.
Yeah, stupid amount of followers.
That's a huge amount.
Yeah, yeah.
And lots of celebrity fans, judging by the quotes you've got on the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're quoted on the book, aren't you?
I'm quoted on the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you for that.
From that spiel, I want to tell you that for the last 20 years, I haven't got that joke in the in beta. I've always called that B3TA and not even realised it was it was a joke. So thank you for that. That's not a joke, but a sort of joke name.
I don't even know if it's a joke.
It completely passed me by, I have to say. Right.
Yeah, I mean, what it was meant to be was, like, obviously, yeah, the word beta, because, like, at the time I was working at a magazine company, EMAP, and I was sort of, like, full of, like, young kind of mad ideas in my head, and I was like, the beta version is the best version of the project before it is destroyed by the committee, kind of killing it with 1,000 cuts. And so that was why it's beta. Yeah. And then... I couldn't register beta because obviously it had gone, even in 2001, it had gone.
So, right. I just always thought you were B3TA.
There's B3TA, isn't it? B3TA is another one people say.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, Fessel does better in some respects than beta because people understand the name. They can say it.
Yes. that's probably it. I mean, you've done a few Twitter accounts before Fessel. You did. You've got a few running still. I mean, are they all running still, all the ones you've done? Do you want to take a few of your other successes?
Yeah. There's Yoko Ono Bot, which it came about when I was looking at Yoko Ono's tweets, and there were things like, walk around wherever you are, carrying a bag of peas, leave a pea wherever you go. And there was just something about that. There was A, that was just a very, very funny idea. And B, instantly in my head, I'm like going, that is a phrase I want to put random nouns into. And I just want to see what comes out. You know, whether it's random. And the one I think that came out that I liked the best was like, walk around with a bag of steamrollers, leave a steamroller wherever you go. And so fundamentally that project is just a random nouns project. I've taken tweets and putting random words into it, and I find that just a very pleasing thing to do. You know, it's fundamentally one of the ways you can write a joke is just mucking, changing the words in a sentence and just automating that a little bit. There's a non-opin, which is one you seem to reply to quite a bit.
I do, yeah.
That's a terribly named one, which I really regret the name of, because no one can remember the name. And I sometimes try to pretend that it's got a theme tune, like Anonopin. Do, 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 Anonopin. But doesn't help. Doesn't help. It's a bad name.
Yeah.
That's just for submitting opinions. I think it's got 100,000 followers now, but fundamentally it only has those off the back of Fessel, because I have a single tweet I posted from Fessel going, this is the poor, broken, rubbish sibling of Fessel. Please follow it in sympathy, kind of thing. And then and I posted that out, and it added like 1,000 followers. And I was like, so every so often I just retweet that one tweet, and every time I do it, it adds more followers. It's in a magic. And it's even grammatically incorrect. It's sort of like, if you actually read the whole sentence, it doesn't even work. And people, there's hundreds of replies to it now just going, can you please change this? And it's like, I can't change it because it's lucky. It's made the whole account work. But you seem to engage with that one more than Fessel.
Maybe. I mean, a lot of people think most of the Fessel ones are me, I think. There's a lot that do cross over with my interests. But I don't think I don't think I've ever submitted anything. I've never submitted anything. No, I wouldn't say if I had, but I haven't. But yeah, I do. You know, I think I like both of them. I do follow both of them. And it's interesting. So what's interesting, I guess, with Fessel is it's now burgeoned out into being a book. Was that something, let's get through the sort of nitty-gritty of how that happened. Was that something, did someone approach you because of the success, or do you think this is working well, I'll put this into a publisher and see what happens?
Literally, I think Fessel had been going like for about a week or something, and a guy invited me, not because of Fessel, he invited me to a lunch saying, I think you should write a book. He was an agent saying, I would like you to write a book. And then what he pitched me was like, he was like, I think you need to write a book about the history of the internet and where it's going and whatever. And it just sounded really, really hard. And I was like, I've just done this thing called Fessel. Can't we do a compendium of the funny jokes on Fessel? And he was like, this is just bad. No. And then over time, as the numbers creeped up, he kept getting back in touch with me going, you know what? You could be onto something with this because the numbers keep going up. Until eventually it was on, I think last Christmas it was on about 200,000 followers. And I started getting offers in. And then so I went back to him going, look, I've got an offer here. And he was like, right, well, that's a good position to be in, because then I can take it to other publishers and going, they want it. What do you reckon? And so he bounced it around various publishers, and then it had like 4 or 5 offers, because if you get one, you can get more, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's great. It is interesting how that, it does seem to be a thing that book people are sort of prowling the internet looking for ideas. I had the quickest one I ever had, which hasn't become a book yet, whether it would. I came up with the idea of doing impossible questions asked by kids, and that I would try to answer them. And there isn't. So I set up a Twitter account for it, and literally within 5 minutes of it going up, a publisher or a literary agent maybe got in touch saying, I would like to, I think this will make a great book. And I don't think there'd even really been any, you know, I'd put a few things up. I don't think anyone else had really engaged with it. So that was the quickest that had ever happened, though it hasn't yet happened. And it may do at some point in the future. But yeah, it is interesting to see that is for authors, the authors who are listening or potential authors who are listening, that can be probably not for a novel, but who knows? It can be a viable entry into becoming published if you can come up with an idea that sparks the public imagination like this one has.
Yeah, it would appear so. But I think that has been the case for like 20 odd years, hasn't it? You know, I've got friends in this space who, you know, I mean, like the Framley guys, you know, they got their first book off the back of people passing around the Framley Examiner, you know, 20 odd years ago. You know, there is a very direct route. And I think, you know, it's actually become arguably a bit weaker and harder to do recently, because what the book industry tells me is the bottom has dropped out of kind of like novelty comedy toilet books,
right?
Specifically because there's so much funny stuff you can scroll past on Twitter and everything like that.
Yeah, right.
You know, that they're not doing so well. And obviously the one that did fantastically, again, it's back to the Framley guys, it's the Ladybird ones, because they lucked into that position of doing the stuff which, well, it hit a nostalgia thing, but it was also, they got into the gift market of going, oh, here's the gift of the, well, they didn't do teacher, but here's the gift for the grandparent, here's the gift for all these different sections of things. And that's what I wanted to do. It's like, when I sort of saw it as a book, I was like, brilliant, can't we just lift that idea and make it confessions about grandparents, confessions, and just target every single bastard going with like a shitty confession book. I wasn't able to sell that idea. Oh well.
Well, look, this book really, I mean, it definitely is a toilet book, and it's definitely a book that you're probably not going to sit down and read cover to cover, though I've attempted to do that, and I'm very much enjoying doing so.
I've heard people have done that. Yeah. And I did try and make it readable, you know.
Yeah, you do get into it, and you do get kind of carried away, and it's all in little sections of different things, of different ideas, like bad neighbours and being cruel to pets and being nice to pets.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about it, we might read out a couple of them just to give a flavour. People don't know what it is, but if you follow Fessel on Twitter, while Twitter's still there, if Twitter's still there at time of broadcast, then you'll get a flavour of it. But I think it's sort of like you would think it would be all horrible things or bad things or embarrassing things, and there's a lot of those.
But
it's, you know, there's a lot of quite heartwarming confessions.
It's all human life is here, you know. As I look at it, it's like we had the Bible, and it's time for the second Bible, and and this is it. And the reason it is the second Bible is because how a lot of the New Testament works, and this is the New Testament, is that it offered you parables that you had to read your own meaning into. And, you know, and I'm looking for someone to be my St. Paul, who can, like, preach the book of Fessel to find out what it all means, because I don't know.
Well, they are. I mean, there's some good advice in there. There's, you know, I'll read out a few that I've marked down. And I quite like that you've put sort of how popular they do look like biblical sort of verses now you've said that. But you put at the bottom how many retweets and how many favourites they get as to
exactly
how popular they
are. You've understood the visual parallel I tried to achieve there. Yeah.
So I'll just read out a couple that I've highlighted just randomly. When we're in the cinema waiting for the film to start, I use my phone to book the seats around, next to, and in front of us. You can book loads of seats and it holds them for 10 minutes without having to pay. No one obscures our view and no annoying kids end up sitting near us. So that's a great piece of advice.
It's an evil tip.
evil tip to break the already struggling cinema business.
What section did that get put into?
That is in, it's right at the, that's the first one. That is, shalt follow advice submitted. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt follow advice submitted by the readers of
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Random. If I'm bored, I use dating apps just to find someone to go out for a drink with, and I don't see it as a date. There should be an app for people wanting to go out, which I've always said that as well. There isn't a very good just let's be friends app. Well, that's just quite a good idea.
Yeah, there isn't. But I think if there was, it would be used for shagging, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm just going on my let's be friends app, wife. That doesn't sound suspicious.
Let's see that it's doubly good. There's a Wi-Fi connected printer. There's quite a few Wi-Fi connected printers. There's a Wi-Fi connected printer somewhere near my shop. It's not password protected, so I've just been sending pictures of big penises to it for ages. Just found out it's the printer in the funeral parlor next door. Sorry. This is the kind that's just, some of them are embarrassing and bad. I mean, this one's sort of, this. I like the ones that sort of conjure up a lot more of an image and tell there's more to the story than the person even realizes they're giving. I think I'm a single bloke in my 40s and live next door to a family. They have 3 cute kids. I don't want to be the strange bloke from next door handing them sweets, so I send anonymous Amazon sweet parcels to them a couple of years, a couple of times a year, which is sort of worse, isn't it? That's sort of much creepier.
It is much, much creepier.
It really gives you an idea of if you behave like an arsehole to anyone in public and you are traceable, certainly people who work in jobs, that they will take revenge, or if you're a neighbour, they'll take revenge.
There's certainly a lot of material that if you're looking for ideas on how to take revenge, there's probably a lot of things in there will get you arrested for stalking or terrible
stuff. Of them are criminal. The selection process of getting them in, Rob, was obviously partly due to how they were popular and also the ones you liked. Is that basically how you went about it, or just the ones that made you laugh the most?
Yeah, well, there's a sort of like double layered selection process, because all the stuff comes into a big Google form, and then I choose what to post on the Twitter account via just going yes and no to various stuff. And it's about I think there's been 150,000 sent in so far, and I publish about 5 to 10% of what comes in. And then my selection process on that is just simply, it's almost like reading Twitter. You know, I'm just paging down going, no, 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 no. Oh, that's funny. I like that one, kind of thing. And then I've always tried to work by the rule that I learned a long time ago working in magazines, which was that someone said funny or interesting. You know, and so not everything has to be funny if it's interesting. You know, you just got to have something you can tick about it that you think, well, that makes me think something. And obviously, minus the ones where I think, well, that's just so problematic to share with a lot of people. I don't want to deal with the fallout of that. And so you've had that initial selection process of what goes online. And then what I did was I just went through the account manually, whatever, screen grabbing the ones that made me laugh a second time round. You know, so I spent a week or two just going through, reading them out, screen grabbing them. And so I ended up with hundreds and hundreds of screen grabs, which I then sorted into folders. And so I was looking for themes, you know, and so I ended up with 100 or so little themes. And like, because I've had a background working in sort of commercial kind of journalism, I say by commercial, you know, entertainment commercial journalism, of writing listicles, that kind of stuff, I was treating the whole project as a sort of meta listicle. And so each one works as a mini list, but it's part of a bigger list as well, because it's taken the form of the 10 commandments, but with the sub commandments within there. And so I was trying to make everything kind of hang together and work as a thing. And then because I'm a massive nerd, I wrote code that went through my folders, because then I had all these 100 folders and the subfolders that then ran OCR on the screen grabs. and built up a draft document. And then because I can't stop myself with my nerdery, I was like, oh, I could like now drop in text files into my folder and have them read those into my draft as well. So I built an entire book publishing system to create my draft. And it was completely, arguably unnecessary, but I can't stop myself when the idea seizes me to do it like that.
I think what interests me as well is the ones you choose not to put in. Obviously, some of them are boring. But I did a questionnaire for my show, Talking Cock, and there was a sort of, there was a lot of very funny things in there, and there were some very sad things in it. But there were also some, borderline criminal things in there, and some actual criminal things in there, and some real confessions from both men and women, actually, about bad things that they'd done or that had happened to them. Which obviously, I thought it's sort of weird that not weird, but unusual that people would like unburden themselves in this format. But obviously, it works because of the anonymity. But also, I couldn't really use some of them. Are you getting like confessions?
I just want to pause you there. We'll get onto your question, but it's interesting that the talking cock thing was the first time you and me had contact. Because you got in touch with me when you were doing that project, saying, can you ask Beatons to submit stories to the talking cock thing? And so this arguably is at some level a continuation of that project. It's the same fucking idea. Ultimately, the same group of kind of people submitting horrible stories and ended up at your door in the same way. So anyway, rejection. We can do rejection. Yeah. 10 minutes ago, you said you were going to ask me about rejection, and so I made a quick list of things that I don't put, and it is one of the questions that people ask me a lot, and it'll be someone will sidle up to me and go, so tell me about all the dirty stuff you don't publish. like it's going to be really, really, the job is, the self-imposed job is I'm giving you the good stuff, But here's the rejected pile. Okay, it's men stealing underwear. There's an enormous amount of men that just need to stop stealing underwear. They're stealing shoes. They're sniffing shoes. It's just terrible, non-consensual sexual activity from middle-aged men with inanimate objects. And this all needs to stop, and I don't need to know about it. And I'm certainly not going to post it out to 0.78 million people. There's endless men posting their sexual, it's basically like it's like delving through the Razzle letters section, and it's just all people's men's horrible sexual fantasies. So much stuff about them wanting to shag their sisters-in-law, and I just don't want to know. And also, I think it would look bad as well, because I've got my partner and she's got two sisters. And if I've got an account that's constantly posting stuff, I go, oh, I fancy my sister-in-law. It's just, they're going to read it. It's going to be embarrassing at Christmas. I never post the troll stuff that you endlessly get, which is like, I did the murders, I buried the bodies. It's just obviously, maybe it's real. I don't know. But I just assume it's some dickhead trying to be funny. There's I think it's one guy, but I can't be certain, but I assume it's one guy who endlessly is submitting stuff going, I was gay, but I tried a lady and it's only ladies for me now on in. You don't know what you're missing. And I think that's not a real person. That's someone with a bugbear they want to get into public.
Yeah.
Again, male sexual fantasies. A common one that crops up, and I've never posted it, is it's that they've been asked out by their two lesbian friends to help out making a baby, but they've secretly had a vasectomy. And my God, the shagging's been going on for 6 months. It's not true, is it? It's not happening. I'm not posting reply confessions, because you stick one up and then you'll get a flurry of people trying to continue the joke. And it's like, continue the joke in the replies. Don't put it as the main confession. I'll give you an example. It's not great. So someone will post, when I interview people for positions in my company, I always ask if they're a cat or a dog person. I've turned down excellent candidates because they prefer cats. And then you'll immediately get someone submitting, I once didn't get a job because I prefer cats to dogs. And it's like, no. Just leave it to shit replies that get five favs. I don't post topical stuff. Partly because it's about 2 weeks behind reality, the account, which is because it has a queue system. And so anything topical just doesn't work. But also, a lot of the topical stuff is just weak gags, although this is sort of a bit funny. We had about 20 variations on this one when the Queen died, and it was like, I was mid-wank when I saw the BBC News alert confirming the Queen had died. It was tough, but I managed to finish. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't post. You asked for this. I did the list, and you're getting it. you're regretting it. I don't post stuff referencing me, and so there's a lot of stuff that will go like, I wish Rob would stop making bots. There's one that said, I think Fesshole is a shite name for an anonymous confessions account, and I don't enjoy Rob Manuel's shitty replies. I'm not going to post that. I'm not going to post, I masturbated to a picture of Rob Manuel in a vicar costume. I don't want it to become self-referential. You know, it's sort of like
that
it's
one was
about
me. That was the only time I have posted one. So that one, that one.
Yeah. But in my DMs too. You know, everywhere. And there's just nothing new to be said about pissing in sinks or stealing carrier bags in supermarkets. It's all been said. That's my list.
It is a really interesting list, and it's interesting. I mean, I think that's probably why it works so well as well, because with those things in, it would become more tedious.
I absorb the tedium, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
My job.
Even when they're published, there's usually a lot of comments going, this didn't happen, or, you know, we're checking this for bullshit, and it's 100% bullshit. I mean, obviously, some of them may be true and some of them may not be true. Do you have any feeling? Do you only want published ones you think are true, or do you have a feeling that of what percentage might be true and what might be just people messing around?
I am very, very naive, and I believe everything people tell me. Okay. And Fesshole is 100% true. I don't know. You know, it's like I've got no great ability. You know, I've only got the text people have sent me. And so, yeah, I can make an assessment and go, I think it's true or it's not true. And I do, to some degree, I am going, is this possible? Do I think this is possible? Rather than, do I think this sentence has definitely happened? Because it's unknowable, completely unknowable if it's happened. But if I think it's possible and I think it's interesting or amusing, then fine, fair enough, you know. And the very context of it is that we're asking you to tell us a funny story. And so we're not, you know, maybe most of your days are boring, but you have a little glimmer of something interesting happening and we're asking you to share that bit, you know. And I think some people who are screaming, it didn't happen, are sort of just have no insight into storytelling, basically. They're just looking at the world and going, well, nothing interesting ever happens to me, therefore that's bullshit. But the point of storytelling is you notice interesting things and you have some kind of ability to just stick the funny bit at the end or deliver the story with enough aplomb that even though it's mundane, it becomes interesting. You know, I hate the didn't happen crew. They must die.
Well, you know, it's pointless because obviously it's possible, isn't it? It's possible it didn't happen. It's possible it did happen. So, like you saying it didn't happen doesn't add anything to the conversation, except exactly what you say, that your life is dull and therefore you think that the threesome might, you know, can't have happened because it hasn't happened to you is essentially what it usually is.
Yeah, people are cheating all the time. That's definitely a list I need to make of like the mundane things people have not accepted, can't believe. And it really is stuff like they don't accept that people have sex outside of their relationship. You know, they're going to be in for a sore surprise when their missus meets the milkman, I guess.
Even if someone did confess to a murder or something like that, there's nothing you can do in any case, right? Because it is genuinely, I mean, that's the whole point of it, that the anonymity has to be secure there's no way you can back check and go, I've found out who you are.
I can't, no. And this is very much on purpose, you know, because it's like, it's in, what's that phrase? It's not my first rodeo and all that, you know. And so I ran a similar thing on the beta website called Question of the Week. And because I was running, or we were running, the servers and all that kind of stuff, you know, we did have the IP addresses and we did have email addresses of people telling us stories. And I had Scotland Yard after me. And then I had to be in a situation, it only happened once, but I had to turn over, under threat of prosecution myself, information to Scotland Yard about a poster on Beta. Because that's how it is, you know, the long arm of the law comes for you and you have no ability to say you have no legal ability to say no. However, so this project is done on the Google servers with their forms. And so if there was a legal issue where someone, where the law was saying you need to turn over the information, I don't have it. I only have the time it was posted and the words. However, Google are very likely to have more information than that. So anyone who wanted to have a legal row would have to row with Google to overturn what information right. they've got. Yeah, and that's not a row I'm part of.
But if one came in that you were convinced was a murderer, you could. It's possible to find out, but you're not going to do it.
Well, if it's, you know, we're on. I've never seen anything that sounded legit. You know, it's always sounded when that kind of thing's come up, it's just sounded like a piss take. I did all the murders in 1978 on that motorway. It just doesn't sound credible. You know, I don't know. You know, if something came in that I thought sounded legit, I don't know what I could do, but, you know, I could look at the situation. But I personally would only have those words and the time, you know. That's the only thing I'd have.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I was just sort of saying that I think that kind of confession thing, it's something comedians do a lot. So as a comedian, I've kind of found the value of confessing my worst aberrations in front of people and realizing that other people feel the same. So this is quite a nice way for people to do that without exposing themselves, I suppose.
Yeah. And I sort of like see it, if we look at it through a comedy lens, I see what I'm doing as, if I was a comedian, I'm doing crowd work, but it's like online crowd work where I'm going around a virtual room going, have you got a story? Let's tell the room. Let's all have a laugh about it. I just said there's those antecedents to it, isn't there? You know, it's like confessions have been, I don't know, Simon Mayo and God knows how many other people have mined the confession mine. But it's infinite, isn't it? Because like fundamentally it's just a way of telling an anecdote about yourself and there's always another story.
Yeah, it does have that usefulness to the reader, I think, in that you... And I think, again, I found this, especially with the Talking Cock Show, is I think that... people have hang-ups and think, oh, no, I've done this terrible thing, or there's something weird about my genitalia, or, you know, I'm worried about this and that, and actually never talk about it. And so actually having this outlet, which, as well, you know, it's the Catholic confession, isn't going and just unburdening yourself of your problems. But I think equally to put that out there and then see other people go, oh, yeah, that's happened to me, or, you know, or not treat like a pariah, or, you know, even if they do treat like a pariah sometimes, I suppose. It's a very useful... thing, I think, for the people who use it.
I would say you can say that, but I always feel that if I'm saying anything like that, there's danger of me being an utter charlatan where I'm claiming there's a societal use for saying that I'm fundamentally running for cheap laughs, you know. But if ever people find it cathartic, then great. And I have actually experimented with doing live confessions, you know. So I've done some live shows, and then I'll do the second half of the show where I'll get people on stage confessing things live. And it gets really quite intense. It's really quite a fun thing to do, you know, because I'll have prepared it a little bit beforehand by asking everyone who's bought a ticket to the show to fill in a form with a confession they might be prepared to do. And then have my friend Giles running around the audience with a mic. And it gets really intense, you know, and like the material they are coming forward with in that live situation isn't necessarily the stuff that would be the most sort of viral in a Twitter thing. But because it's in the room, it becomes quite powerful. And so like the last time I did it, we had this one man who was like confessing to how he'd killed a tree. And how he'd killed it was like he'd taken copper nails and then nailed the nails into the root of the tree, into the base of the tree, and that copper gets drawn into the whole kind of system and it just poisons the tree. And the reason he'd done it was because this tree was his neighbor's tree and it was blocking the light to his garden. And people were quite upset by this. There was booing. but then that contrasted with like the next guy confessing who it turned out he'd killed a swan. And he'd killed a swan by sitting next to the Thames on a balmy summer afternoon, having a few lagers and lime, and then seeing this sod of earth, you know, this like large square lawny bit that obviously been placed there by a gardener fixing up the thing. And he was like, oh, just toss that into the Thames like you do when you're a bit pissed, going, oh, that'd make a nice throw. It landed on a swan and the swan sunk into the Thames, never to be seen again. And he got, you know, we had a little bit of a vote in the room and he got forgiven by the room because the feeling was it was stupid, but it wasn't actually malice. Yeah. Whereas the guy killing the tree, you know, he'd Googled the best way to kill trees and then executed his plan. It was murder.
It was murder. And it's interesting, within the book, it's interesting that people do, you know, that sort of could be both sides of a confession. There's one, I think, that I just read about a guy who is a neighbour chopped the top of his walnut tree or something, and so he now throws weed killer over because he didn't want it blocking his lawn. So he now throws weed killer onto his lawn when he's out. So these little bits of petty revenge. Yeah. And what I like about it, I mean, it reminds me of Roger's Profanosaurus from Viz a little bit, and I think that's this sort of beautiful sort of you know, it's compiled from people, but also it's this beautiful poetry of the gutter that really kind of, you know, this inventiveness of the public and of ordinary people. And this, I think, in a broader sense, the confess hole is sort of, you know, this document about the human condition and about the things that we don't usually talk about unless we are, I suppose, trolls and anonymous through that way.
Yeah, no, there's a direct line from like things like the Profanosaurus and like Top Tips and Reader's Letters and Viz. And I think that's one of the things that's most influenced me through the years is that particular strand in Viz. And like, and then coming on the internet and going, oh, we can run projects like that. It's entirely possible, you know. And it's obviously the same thing. You're encouraging strangers to be funny and then selecting the best bits to make your publication. You know, that's the exact model. And I personally just really enjoy doing that. And I find that, you know, I'm quite capable of writing a joke if I want to on my own. I'm not saying I'm the most genius joke writer in the world, but I find it much more fun listening to other people's stories. And then, you know, I will pick out the ones I like or you know, I might do some slight editing. Like I'll never change the meaning of a story, but, you know, I'll do the simple comedy editing of making sure it lands on the funny bit towards the end or remove a trailing sentence that just added nothing kind of thing.
Sure. And do you worry about the future? I mean, obviously, a lot of your projects are dependent.
Do I worry about the future?
Do you think it's going to get through this current unpleasantness and trouble that's going on? And because it worries me slightly because I've built up, like, obviously a big, not as big as your as Fessel, but I've built up a sizable audience for my stupid projects, and you know that is a PR exercise. But for you, if Twitter went down or if Twitter changed a lot, that would That would that destroy everything you've created?
It wouldn't be good, you know. And like I've you know, where do I begin with that question? You know, I tell myself like that Twitter at the moment is like a pub that's got a bad landlord, and we can sit out the bad landlord sort of like being grumpy in the corner, and there will be better times ahead. But you know, yeah, it might all be over and it might be screwed. In terms of Fesshole, you know, it's the perfect format for it. You know, I've got it running on some other platforms, which I do manually rather than running it as a bot. And so it posts on Instagram. There's about 50,000 followers on Instagram.
Right.
And and occasionally I'll read them out on TikTok, and I've got 85,000 followers on TikTok for just reading them out. Right. And so I could make it work on other platforms, but Twitter is my first love, with this stuff. And it would be a tragedy if Musk, like it looks like he is doing, screws it up so badly it's all over. But you know, I'm hopeful. It's just a bit shit. Twitter is just a bit shitter than it was, but it sort of muddles through, is my hope. But who knows, you know, the stuff he's coming out at the moment, what was it, the you know, he's getting really quite balmy, isn't he, with his like woke mind viruses he was going on about the other day.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, it does make me go, do I want to be on this platform? I'm not that enthusiastic, but I'm stuck here now, and I think that's well, like, we're all a bit stuck here now because we've all invested an enormous amount of time building up some kind of like strategy for promoting our projects, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's all go to Mastodon. Great.
I'd say I don't think that's going to happen.
You haven't built up your Mastodon page or anything?
No, I mean, I found out that I was trying to sign up and couldn't sign up, and it was all very, I found it way too confusing for me, and every app I use wouldn't work. And then I've discovered that I'd signed up in 2017, obviously at some point when it was a bit easier to do, or someone had done it for me. I think I did it myself. So I had an account. But I've just, you know, I go on there, no one's really posting, no one's really replying. I've got a few thousand, I've got maybe 3,000 people the last time I checked, as opposed to 300,000 on Twitter, which might not be, you know, I think like the thing with that, they might not be engaging, and I don't think they are. It has felt like it's getting a less potent thing anyway. You know, I think I used to tweet about gigs, and the gigs would more or less sell out if it was a big name act, you know, and now it doesn't seem to have the same potency as it did for me, at least. We'll see. I mean, I think he'll probably, if he fucks it up, I think the thing will still survive, and someone else will buy it off him for, you know, £1 million instead of £44 billion, and they'll hopefully get it running back as it was before. Not that it was perfect, but or maybe he'll just, you know, he's a genius, and he'll turn it all around. Who knows?
Yeah, things do die, don't they? You know, it's like, you know, we've lived through the death of MySpace, the death of Flickr, you know, these things. And also running beta, you know, I do know about having a long tail of a once popular project that dribbles on for years.
Well, that's my career as well. That's my whole career. Are there any books you are reading that you would like to recommend? Do you do a lot of reading?
I read mostly books about either Hitler or the Beatles, you know, the only two things that mattered in the 20th century. And so I'm currently working through Ian Kershaw's Big Hitler book, whatever that's called.
Yeah, I read that one. There's two, right? Is it Hubris and something else?
Yeah. And the other one I read recently was John Higgs, Beatles / Bond book, which is fantastic. Have you nosed into that at all?
I haven't read that one. I saw it and thought, wow, that's someone really trying to kind of tick all the boxes, and I'm sure it will work. So I haven't checked that one out. The last Beatles book I read was Craig Brown's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that's really good too.
Yeah.
You know, Higgs stuff is really good though. You know, and I have a small part in you know, because I can honestly call him a friend of mine. And he, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, you've got to write a Beatles book, because he's a massive Beatles fan. And he was like, oh, you know, I want to, but I've got to find the angle. And he found his angle.
Yeah.
It turned out to be Bond.
That's great.
Yeah. And then reading it, I was just endlessly riffing my own sort of new books for Higgs, of mashing up, I don't know, Blake 7 and the Rolling Stones and stuff like that. The Decline.
Kajagoogoo and Blake Seven, I think it's going to be.
Yeah, Kajagoogoo and Google.
Yes, that would be good.
Yes, they sound similar words. That's the funny, hilarious joke.
That's the way in. Brilliant.
Yeah. Work backwards from a pun. Recommending all your fantastic listeners read John Higgs. Don't buy my book. Buy John Higgs' book.
Yeah, okay. Well, I will try it. On your recommendation, I will buy it, and I'll have him on. If I like it, I'll have him on the show if he'll come on. Anyway, the book is called The Very Best of Fessel, Britain Confesses and Honestly. It's by Rob Manuel, but he's done absolutely no work, as we have discovered, to write this book. So, what a rude conclusion after everything you've told me. He's done nothing. He's done nothing to put this together.
He's done nothing. I don't deserve anything.
That's the message of this. No, it's fantastic. And do keep on and follow them. Follow on Twitter, Anon Opinion and Anon Opin. What's it called? Anon Opin.
Yeah.
Anon Opin. Yeah, that's a bad name.
Yeah.
And do follow.
It is. It's terrible.
Vessel. They're both.
But it's absolutely crucial. You've got to name your project right. I mean, like, what have you called your shows? You make a feature of it, don't you? You have an absolutely unmanageable name for your live shows.
That's true.
You know, if you just called it a decent name, you'd be on every Saturday night on BBC One by now.
You're right. I've realised what a fool I've been. Really nice to talk to you, Rob, after all. I don't know if we've ever spoken. Maybe we have, but we've emailed and tweeted each other a lot, so it's lovely to probably talk to you for a long time.
We have spoken, right. But you wouldn't remember because it was in the context of a gig, and so you've come off stage and, you know, you're just loads of cunts, isn't it, yabbering at you. And I bought you a pint and we chatted for 5 minutes.
Oh, well, so there you go.
That's the thing. I'm so hurt that you've forgotten.
I don't remember anything anymore anyway because I'm way too old. Thank you to Chris Evans, one, for his fine work on producing this through slight technical difficulties. So well done, Chris. And it's lovely to be back with the book club.
Thank you, Chris.
I don't know who we've got a few possibilities for next week, but I don't know who it's going to be yet. But do tune in next week for more fun. Thank you, Rob.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.